Chapter 5. A Peaceful Corner of Soho Square. 12 months passed, and by 1781, Charles Darnay was working in England as a teacher of French. Some of his time was spent teaching the rich young students of Cambridge, but he mostly lived and worked in London. Along with Mr. Lorry and Sidney Carton, he had become a regular visitor to the Manette's house in Soho Square. Since the day of his trial and his escape from death, Darnay had loved Lucy Manette. He had never heard a voice as sweet as hers, or seen a face as beautiful. But in the year since the murder at the chateau, he had not told her of his love. He knew he must first speak to her father, and that time had now come. One fine August day, he walked to Soho Square, where the Manette's house stood in a peaceful, pleasant corner, far from the noisy streets. In a courtyard at the back rose the beautiful leafy branches of a great tree. Here, Dr. Manette lived quietly with his daughter and her companion, Miss Pross. He had begun to work as a doctor again and received his patients at home. Since coming to London, his energy had returned. He studied hard, slept little, and was calmly cheerful. But in a corner of his bedroom, there still stood the old shoemaker's bench and his tools from Paris. The doctor was reading in his armchair by the window when Darnay came in. He put down his book.
"Charles Darnay, I'm happy to see you," he said. "Mr. Carton told us you were back from Cambridge. Lucy has gone out, but she'll soon be home."
"I knew she was out," replied Darnay. "I came to speak to you alone about something very important." He stopped, not knowing how to continue. "Dr. Manette, I hope the topic won't cause you pain."
"If you wish to talk about your feelings for Lucy, it will be very hard for me to hear what you have to say," replied the doctor, bending his head.
"Dear Dr. Manette," said Darnay, "I love your daughter deeply, with all my heart, but I haven't told her."
"I know that is because of me,"
said the doctor, without raising his eyes.
"Thank you."
"For a year and a half, I have seen you and your daughter together and witnessed the strength of love between you," replied Darnay. "I felt I ought not to bring my love between you. I feel it even now, but I love her."
"I believe it," said her father sadly. "I have thought so before now."
"But believe too that I'll never take her away from you. I wish only to share your life and your home and be true to you until death." At last, Dr. Manette looked up.
"You speak from the heart, Charles Darnay, and I thank you. Have you any reason to believe that Lucy loves you?"
"As yet, none. I know that even if she does, she'll always put you first. You were blessed to find each other after so many years, and no one is more important to her than you. I have no hope without you, but I'll never ask you to speak for me. I only ask you to promise that if she ever speaks to you of loving me, you will tell her of my love."
"I will. I would do anything for her happiness. She is everything to me."
"There's one more thing, dear doctor. I don't want to keep any secret from you. My present name, which was my mother's, isn't my own, and I want to tell you my real name.
Stop! Not now, said the doctor. If Lucy loves you and agrees to become your wife, tell me on the morning of your wedding.
If Sidney Carton ever shone anywhere, he certainly never shone in the house of Dr. Manette. He had been there often over the past year and was always dull. When he wanted to talk, he talked well, but a cloud of caring for nothing almost always hung over him. Yet he did care for the streets around the house in its peaceful corner of Soho Square. Often at night, when wine had failed to bring him any happiness, he wandered these streets until the sun rose. Perhaps this quiet time brought a lost memory of better things into his mind. A few days after Darnay's visit, Carton arrived at the doctor's house. He was taken upstairs and found Lucy alone. She had never felt relaxed with him, and felt uncomfortable now as he sat down near her. But, looking up at his face, she noticed a great change in it.
"I fear that you're ill, Mr. Carton," she said.
"No, but my life is not a healthy one," he replied.
"Forgive me," she said. "Isn't it a pity not to live a better life?"
"Yes, a great pity."
"Then why not change it?"
Looking at him gently, Lucy was surprised to see that there were tears in his eyes.
"It's too late. I'll never be better than I am," he said.
"No, Mr. Carton. I'm sure the best part of your life is still to come," Lucy said.
She was pale and trembling. He bent his head and covered his eyes with his hands.
"I'm like someone who died young. There is nothing left," he said. "Please forgive me, Miss Manette. I'm upset by what I want to say to you. Will you hear it?"
She had never seen him like this and was deeply saddened.
"I'd be pleased to, Mr. Carton, if it would make you happier."
He took his hands away from his face.
"I know it's not possible that you love me, Miss Manette. I know you don't care for me, and I'm thankful for it, because if you could love me as I love you, I would always be conscious of bringing you unhappiness. I would pull you down with me."
"Without loving you, can't I still save you, Mr. Carton? Can't I recall you to a better life?"
He shook his head.
"No. I only want you to know that you have woken old memories I thought had died. I've had ideas of beginning again and fighting once more, but it's all a dream that ends in nothing. I only want you to know that you have been the last dream of my soul."
"Oh, Mr. Carton, think again, try again. Have I no power for good with you at all?"
"No, Miss Manette. Speaking to you like this is the most good that I'm capable of. Let me just remember for the rest of my worthless life that I opened my heart to you and you found something in it to pity. Let me remember that I shared this secret of my soul with you and that you will never share it with anyone, not even those who are dearest to you."
"If that will help you, then yes."
"Thank you. God bless you."
He put her hand to his lips and moved towards the door.
"I promise I'll never speak of this again, Miss Manette, but in the hour of my death, I'll remember that my name, my faults, and my despair were gently carried into your heart.
It made Lucy so sad to think of what he had thrown away that she cried for him as he looked back at her from the door.
"Be comforted," he said. "I'm not worth your tears. In another hour or two, I'll be back with the same low people, doing the same low things. But know that I would do anything for you and for anyone dear to you. I would welcome any sacrifice. In some quiet moment, remember that there is a man who would give his life for a life you love. Goodbye, and God bless you."